You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Jennifer Brooks.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, April 19, 2017.
The early women who founded Women's International League for Peace and Freedom knew that you could not have any peace without justice.
The local chapter of an international peace group is demonstrating this weekend in support of environmental protections. More on that coming up later in the show in today's WFHB Community Report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Brian Hacking on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
A Bloomington-based biotech company took another step toward expanding its business last night. The Monroe County Plan Commission gave permission for the company AB Biotechnologies to divide a 10-acre piece of land just off Curry Pike, where the company plans to build a new headquarters. The owner of AB Biotechnologies, Jeff Schwagman, told the commission he was in a rush to get the new headquarters built.
The reason we're trying to work with you to sort of expedite this is, I guess what it comes down to is my ignorance as a business owner. I'm a scientist by training. So when we started this project, it was, okay, we got to order this piece of equipment. So we've put $2 million down on this filling line for drug products, and it's showing up in August. So I've got to have a building to put it in. And that's my ignorance as going through all this process. So, you know, we've got funding behind us. We're ready to roll. We're just waiting to get the land subdivided and the approvals. Once that happens, the bank will come in and release all the additional funds we need to get rolling on that.
The company plans to use the new facility for formulating, filling, freeze-drying, and packaging injectable drugs for clinical trial studies. The approval came despite some questions about drainage from the property. The company has not yet acquired easements that would allow it to use a nearby detention pond for drainage. Commission Chairperson Kevin Roebling asked County Planner Jackie Nestor if the commission should delay approval.
If they can't figure out this drainage issue, we will have already divided it in half, right? They will have gotten the plat amendment, and why wouldn't we wait to do that to find out whether they had the drainage issues squared away?
So they can always do on-site bioretention. It's just more expensive. So they'll work out the easement. If they don't, then they'll figure something out on the site. It's 4.28 acres, so.
The commission later voted unanimously to approve the company's request. The company still must get approval for a development plan before construction can begin on the property. Last night's hearing came more than 3 months after the county commissioners approved a $830,000 tax break for the company, which plans to add at least 15 new jobs through the expansion. According to paperwork submitted to the county, pay rates at the new jobs will range from $12.50 per hour to $53.88 per hour.
Many Indiana University employees will be losing out on overtime eligibility that they had received last year as a result of a measure put into place by former President Barack Obama. The university originally made these changes in anticipation of the law's implementation. But after multiple challenges from federal judges, coupled with anti-regulation statements from President Trump, it appears likely these changes will not be coming. According to a report today in the Herald Times, this has led the university to reverse the changes it made last year. Employees will, however, be rewarded with 8 extra days of pay for having their status switched to deal with the coming pay gap.
Indiana employers are in need of middle skill workers, according to a report from the National Skills Coalition. Middle skills refer to a high school diploma or equivalent with on-the-job training, certification, some college, or an associate degree. Andrew Bradley, senior policy analyst for the Indiana Institute for Working Families, said that middle skill jobs are popular in Indiana.
So middle-skilled jobs actually make up the largest percentage of jobs in Indiana right now, and this is anything from nursing jobs to truck drivers to welders and mechanics, all those skilled jobs that require less than a bachelor degree.
Who's your hot 50 jobs? Lists high-demand jobs statewide and by region. On Indiana's top 10 in-demand jobs, six require middle skills, such as sales representatives, office managers, and electricians. Bradley said there are many factors that make it difficult for people to earn a middle skill education.
Often adults already have to be in jobs and are working in low-wage, often low-skill jobs. So to be able to go back to school requires them to have a sufficient income and to have transportation and childcare and all these sort of services already lined up so that they can make that leap back into education and training for these jobs.
Bradley said that the passing of the proposed workforce-ready grants under House Bill 1008 would help encourage adults to pursue a middle skill education. According to Bradley, the need for health care is growing, especially as baby boomers reach retirement. He said nursing is a prime example of a middle-skilled job in high demand here in Indiana.
A part of Greene County is in an emergency situation related to a natural gas well. According to the Citizens Energy Group, the natural gas well located in a rural area about 4 miles south of Worthington, Indiana, between County Road 325 North and County Road 200 North, has leaked its contents, causing the evacuation of nearby homes, as well as closure of several roads and power loss to some Duke Energy customers. The well is expected to be empty and the gas fully dissipated within 24 hours. But as of now, public safety personnel are the only ones allowed on site.
A new survey finds that 2/3 of U.S. seniors have been victims or targets of online scams or hacks. To help seniors understand the risks and protect themselves from fraud, the Home Instead Senior Care Network collaborated with the National Cybersecurity Alliance to launch a new educational program, Protect Seniors Online. The program offers free resources and tips to help seniors understand how scammers operate. 97% of aging adults now use the internet at least once a week. Jeff Sewell, owner of the Home Instead Senior Care Office in Indianapolis, says the goal is to protect seniors through education. Quote, seniors should be able to rest assured that their money, what they worked for all their life to earn, is protected, unquote. The public education program Protect Seniors Online is available at www.protectseniorsonline.com. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Scott Weddle.
And I'm Jennifer Brooks. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
In today's WFHB Community Report, correspondent Norm Holy speaks with Tommy and James Allison, who are working with a peace group to organize a rally in downtown Bloomington this weekend.
So today we have, as our honored guests, we have Tommy Allison and Jim Allison. You, of course, know that Tommy was longtime mayor in town, and her husband was an IU faculty member. They're both retired, but still very active civically. And today they have something that's going to happen on Earth Day that they want to talk about.
The organization behind the thing we're going to talk about today, Earth Day, is an organization called the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, which is a little over 100 years old now. It's founded just before America got into World War I by a social worker named Jane Addams, who started Chicago's Hull House in the late 1800s and spearheaded a peace movement which was intended to forestall or avoid, if possible, America's entry into World War I. It's an international organization. It has separate organizations in various nations. There's a United States section. There are other sections throughout the world. And they also have branches within the various communities throughout the United States and other countries. And Bloomington has a branch, which is about 50 years old now. And that's the organization that's behind our sponsorship of the nationwide demonstration on April 22nd, Earth Day.
The demonstration will be at noon on April the 22nd on the Courthouse Square. We invite everybody who cares about our planet to come and voice their concern. For people who are puzzled that a peace organization is talking about a Earth Day celebration and having a slogan of peace and planet before profit, the early women who founded Women's International League for Peace and Freedom knew that you could not have any peace without justice. And they recognized that you had to make sure that human rights and civil rights and that people had their living protected, or you would have conflict. And what we're seeing in the world today are resource wars. There's war over oil, and there's war over water. This is something that we need to face up to. And
I just want to ask you now, are there going to be speakers at this?
There will be speakers. We're going to have an open mic as well. And we really would like people to...
You're invited.
You're invited, yes, because we want people to speak out, because what we've had in this country is like the Koch brothers with their, paying for the science-denying climate change to confuse people, to make people think that it's unsettled science, which is not true.
I might point out that April 22nd is also the National March for Science Day. And that gathering has special significance this year in light of climate change denials, as she said, on the part of President Trump and members of his cabinet. The freezing of grants administered by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, is a special concern, of course, to Indiana University, because Indiana University is a major scientific research institution, especially vulnerable to science policy in the Trump White House.
What we've had is a lot of propaganda that has given so much misinformation that we need citizens to speak out in favor of the planet and in protecting our environment. Our local branch will be emphasizing the Standing Rock Sioux and their opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Now, why is that issue identified as the one for the local branch to
Because it hits on so many things that concern the Women's International League.
I might say it's not just the local branch that's doing this.
Oh, okay.
It's the U.S. section of WILF that's focusing on that.
This is human rights. They're saying, water is sacred. This is a threat to their water supply, their only water supply.
And I might point out that the Sioux know the facts of life down there. They know their environment. They know the practical import of gas spills and oil spills.
Right.
They've seen this happen.
Yes.
And they know that it's a very high probability that it's going to happen to them. And this is going to threaten their only water supply source and other community water supplies in the area. And they know very well, as we do, that the continued development of this Bakken crude, as they call it, is going to make no significant contribution to the energy independence of this country, none whatsoever. It's just a drop in the bucket.
It's going to be all exported anyway.
Yeah, and so we call on the federal government to block this controversial project.
Also, we need to say, some international banks and some United States banks have stopped the investment in the pipeline. There is a suit now against the other pipeline, the Canadian pipeline, that they haven't followed the proper U.S. laws. So it's not a dead issue just because they've thrown them off, which they did violently. And Trump has said for it to go ahead. It's not a dead issue. So when we're talking about this April 22nd noon demonstration on Courthouse Square and our theme, which is peace and planet before profit, peace, you look at the Near East and it's oil and pipelines, by the way, right? Pipeline in Syria that the Russians and the West are fighting over. Pipeline also in Afghanistan was also. So the money that is invested in an energy that should be
It's on its way out.
On its way out, you know, there's peak oil and all that. We should be putting it in into alternative. And here in our state, you know, where they passed SB 309 and made it more difficult for a fledgling industry in solar. And yet this is where we should be going as a reasonable people. This whole idea of defaulting and going against the critical role that science plays, mm-hmm. you know, in our society. The idea that...
You can choose your own facts.
Yeah, right. And that without data and without information, it's so self-defeating. And so I'm saying to people, please come out on April the 22nd yes. and say, you know, we are a intelligent people. We are a caring people. Yes. We recognize that our environment is important to us and that we must protect it.
Is this primarily a women's organization? Or
it is, but of course the membership is open. Jim is a member, yeah. And also we are, in effect, putting out that we're going to have a demonstration, but we invite all the environmental organizations, all the peace organizations, all the different issue organizations. If you care about the planet, come down and let's talk to each other and try to impress upon the citizens of Bloomington and Monroe County that this is a crucial issue. The whole environmental, the climate change, our treatment of the planet.
Thank you very much for coming today. Thank you for all the information and
thank you.
That was correspondent Norm Hawley speaking with Tommy and James Allison from the local chapter of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Have you got a smartphone? I don't, at least not yet. Are you on social media? Well, I'm not. Much, anyway. You won't find me on Facebook, although I do have a page on LinkedIn that I check about once a month. Here on Better Beware, we've talked a good deal about people hacking your smartphones, computers, laptops, tablets, and such, and hackers breaking into your online shopping accounts, social media pages, and even your bank accounts. But now, it looks like the whole hacking thing has been taken to a new level. According to former Google executive Tristan Harris, the high-tech engineers in Silicon Valley have been hard at work hacking your brain. This is no joke. It was reported last week by Anderson Cooper, and it's pretty scary. Harris said, and I quote, "Every time I check my phone, I'm playing the slot machine to see what did I get," end quote. And that's what's happening to millions of people. Do you know someone who can't resist checking their phone even when they're in the middle of a conversation, going to the bathroom, or driving down the street? That's not happening by chance. And it's not just some personal quirk. A relatively small group of software engineers are working hard to reach into the human brain, way down at the bottom of the brainstem, and activate the most primitive human emotions, like fear, loneliness, anxiety, and so forth. And it really works. It's all about getting your attention. Advertisers have been doing that for centuries, but today, for the first time, it's possible to get people hooked on a product or a service by electronically mimicking the action of an addictive drug. Advances in neuroscience over the last few decades have been amazing, and now a computer programmer who understands that new knowledge can design programs to make the human brain behave in certain ways. It's not just mental, it's physical. Put your smartphone down and your brain generates cortisol, which makes you feel anxious. When you check online and get a message, your brain produces dopamine, which makes you feel good. Facebook makes you scroll a lot, maybe half the time, and that's deliberate because it keeps you on the site longer. Snapchat has a feature called Streaks, which shows the number of days in a row you've used their service and makes you want to keep your streak going. And the longer you spend online, the more the brain hacking software learns about you and adapts itself to build a stronger hold on your mind. This is not illegal, but it is dangerous, and you can fight it. Research brain hacking and then think about it and about how you behave. Your mind is the target, but your mind is also your defense. You can learn to recognize the symptoms and just say no. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at wfhb.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@wfhb.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Christopher Boyle and Sheila Raghavandran. Along with Joe Crawford for Cats Week, in partnership with Community Access Television Services, Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Norm Hawley and Joe Crawford.
Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Jennifer Brooks. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program, recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. Stay tuned for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.